Well, good morning. Well, we are talking about Delivered. This is going to be our last week of talking about that. If you are just now joining us, you might be going, I'll come to a church service to learn about delivery and labor and why am I here? No, we're not talking about that kind of Delivered. We're talking about a different kind of Delivered. In fact, the kind of Delivered that we're talking about is really talking about this harmony that's taken place between a triune God, a God that is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and how they're all working together. And we're talking about this delivery that ends up taking place that could only take place if Jesus would have completed what he completed on the cross and he rose again. So when we started this whole series 2 weeks ago, we started this with talking about this idea of tri-God, T-R-I, that we would look at this triune God. And as we looked at this, we said, well, let's take a look specifically at what Jesus had to say, because Jesus made some proclamations that when he was alive and he was here on earth, he made some proclamations. He proclaimed some things that would take place before they ever happened. The first one that we looked at is that Jesus, he prophesied about his death, that Jesus said, hey, I'm going to die. Now, his disciples, they weren't like going, what? No way, you could never, ever, ever, ever die. That they weren't like shocked by that, but they were shocked by what Jesus had to say when he said how he would die. Because he didn't just say, I'm going to die. He says, I'm going to be crucified. And that was shocking to them because it's like, one, you shouldn't be leaving us yet, and you haven't even set up and established what it is you were going to be doing, and we're going to reestablish this kingdom on earth is what we thought was going to be taking place, and that hasn't happened yet. Why are you talking about your death? And then all of a sudden, whoa, wait a second, you're talking about being crucified, being put to death on a cross. Only the worst of the worst criminals, and you're not a criminal. You haven't done any crime. You are the Son of God. How could you be guilty of a crime? And yet he was crucified. But Jesus also proclaimed, and I think this was the most significant proclamation that Jesus ever stated, is he says, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to come back to life. Yes, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. And this is what separates Christianity from any other world religion. There's no other Godhead. There's no other being. There's nobody that's even claimed to be a God that has said, hey, I'm here. I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back to life and then come back to life. Nobody's even done it without saying it. And it's what totally, totally, totally shows that Christianity, faith in Christ, is a faith worth having. Because he did. He came back to life and he was on earth for 40 days when he showed back up. He didn't appear to just his disciples. He appeared to over 400 people at one time, over 500 people at one time. That he made all these appearances. He also made this proclamation. And he said, listen, I want you guys to be prepared for a reunion because I'm coming back. And he did. He prepared his disciples. And he says, I'm going to be coming back. He says, when I come back, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. And that ended up taking place as well. And the fourth proclamation that we looked at is that Jesus promised. He promised that after he would depart from having risen again, he promised after he departed from there that he would deliver the Holy Spirit. That Jesus had to go in order for the Holy Spirit of God to be delivered in a way that the Holy Spirit has never been with us. In fact, that was the seismic shift. And the seismic shift was that the Spirit of God was no longer just be with us, but the Spirit of God would be in us. So we looked at that some last week. And what we looked at last week is we looked at these benefits. We looked at these four bennies that we get with the Holy Spirit. And one of the benefits we get right here is this symbol, is we get conviction. That the Holy Spirit of God convicts us. And the conviction isn't the punishment. The conviction isn't to punish. In fact, the conviction is to protect us from the punishment. That when we respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us, that there is a God. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us that, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us that, that we are a sinner. We are sinful. We need forgiveness, and we can only get that forgiveness that we need through Jesus, through what Jesus did for us. And it's the Holy Spirit, he's the convictor. It's a benefit that he brings, is he brings this benefit of convicting, and he convicts us of our sin. Not only does he convict us of that sin so that we begin a relationship, a trust relationship, a faith relationship with God, but then once we are in that faith, that the Spirit of God convicts us of what it is that might be wrong in our life. He convicts us of things that we should be doing with our life. But it's a benefit that we get from the Holy Spirit. Another benefit we looked at right here is we put this image of a little security blankie. And we looked at that and said, one of the benefits that we get with the Holy Spirit is that he comforts. That he comforts us. And he comforts us in times of trouble, in times of heartache. He is our comforter. And I can't imagine people that don't have the Spirit of God in them going through some of the hardships and tragedies that they end up going through. I cannot imagine going through that without having the Spirit of God helping to comfort during those difficult times. Because once you put your faith, your hope, and your trust in Jesus, you receive this comfort that he provides, that he gives. We looked at this benefit right here, is that he certifies. That he certifies. He certifies the believer. He certifies the person who puts their faith, their trust in Jesus. He certifies them. He puts a seal on them. He says, you are mine. I have you. I've got you covered for now and for all of eternity. Once we bend our knee of our heart and we bow to Jesus, we are sealed. The Holy Spirit seals us. And now we have this forever relationship. We are forever brought in to the family of God. Our eternal zip code, it changes because we are heaven bound. And the last benefit we looked at was the benefit of he counsels. That he counsels. That he counsels us. He prods us. He leads us. He guides us. And the Spirit of God does that, and he does it from within us. And we looked at this and said, the only way we get these benefits is because of the work of Christ on the cross. That is what Jesus did on the cross and rising again, that he sent the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to wrap this all up as we look at this idea of the litmus test. We're going to be in four different places in our Bible today. They're all going to be in our New Testament. We're all going to be written from a guy named Paul. The Apostle Paul is who we're going to be reading from. We're going to be looking at a guy that as he wrote all this, this is a guy that didn't believe in Jesus while Jesus was here on earth, that he rejected that. He was religious, but he did not believe in Jesus. And it was only after Jesus had returned from being the risen Savior that Jesus interacted with Paul in a supernatural way that Paul became a believer. And so he is the one that's writing all the things that we're going to be looking at today. What he's writing to believers. Everything that he's going to be saying that we're going to be looking at today is something that he has written to people who are already convinced of who Christ is. And if you're with us today and you're like going, oh, that kind of stinks because I'm not there yet and I was hoping there would be something for me. Well, I do believe there's going to be something for you. And I think it's going to be worth your while for you to be listening to what is it that was instruction? What is it that was being said? What is it that he wanted the believers to know? And I think it's going to be worth your time to begin to discover and understand this. Because I'm hoping and praying that if you're one of these people, that you're just not yet a believer, that you're going to stick around long enough and you're going to begin to see that the Spirit of God's going to convict, you're going to respond, and you're going to become a Christ follower. And you're going to experience the things that Paul is writing about. So Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to get our start today. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Now, this whole imitate God, it's not this thing that just is kind of making fun of God. It's not that kind of imitating. It's an imitate God in the way of do what you see God doing. And when I think about this whole idea of imitating God, you know when we get most fired up about doing that, about being, trying to be more like God and living the way that he would want us to live and following that example, is when we're young in our faith. When this faith is brand new to us and it's fresh and we're experiencing this change, we just want to be able to serve him, honor him, glorify him. We want to do all that he's designed for us to do, and we get really excited about it. I think that there's kind of this direct correlation to when we're young in the faith to when we're as young as people in this whole idea of being an imitator. That I remember as a kid, I remember as a very young kid, that I wanted a gift. And a gift that I wanted was I wanted a plastic push mower. I did. I wanted that as a gift. And the reason I wanted that as a gift is because my dad would go out and he would mow the yard. And I wanted to be like my dad. And so I wanted to get that. And as a kid, I'd had that little mower, and there'd be times I'd just be right behind him. There'd be times that I'd be like going ahead of him and showing him I was faster than he was and he needed to pick up the pace, you know? But I just enjoyed that. And to me, that was the greatest thing. And I liked all of that until my dad made me put that one away and start pushing the metal one. I didn't like that so much then. And from that moment on, I looked forward to becoming a dad so that I could have somebody that would take over pushing that mower for me. Well, when we look at this idea that we're supposed to imitate God, that the things that we see God do are the very things that we should be doing. And that's what Paul is saying. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. That's who you are. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Now, there's some things in our Bible that you just might be reading along, and everything's just kind of going good, and you're just kind of chilling, reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden you come across something like, wait a second, Jesus' sacrifice was a pleasing aroma to God? You're like going, I don't know about that kind of God. You know, what's up with that? But see, this is all about in context. See, we're going to be reading from the New Testament, everything we're going to be reading today. In the New Testament, is since Jesus came. The Old Testament is before Jesus came. The New Testament, made up of these 27 books, this is about the new promise, the new covenant, New Testament. The Old Testament is the old covenant, the old promise is what it is. When we look at the Old Testament, it's all about us trying to live out a law, obey, to get a right standing with God. In the New Testament, is about us embracing the grace of Jesus and responding to that and becoming a Christ follower because of what he has done for us, that he's paid the penalty of our sin. It's the New Testament, the new promise. And these two things are separate. But when you're reading them and you understand the context of it all, everything makes sense. And so there's this pleasing aroma to God, where you might look at that and go, that's just kind of weird and strange and out there, and I don't get it. Well, if you were to be reading our Old Testament and you were to look through some of the different type of sacrifices that people would make, is there would be these offerings or these sacrifices that would be made, and one of the offerings that would be made would be this offering of burning incense to God. And you would take this incense, you would burn it, and it would have its aroma, and that would be a pleasing aroma to God that you were doing as an offering to him. And what Paul's getting at here is he's saying, listen, what Jesus did on the cross, oh, that was so pleasing to the Heavenly Father. And so that's what's being said here when we get to see this offering, this sacrifice that is a pleasing aroma to God. So he's saying, yes, imitate him, and yes, we need to love like Jesus loved. And then Paul says, well, let's look at the other side. Let's look at some things that we should not be doing, that we need to stay away from, these things that we need to avoid. Verse 3, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. that that's what we need to have. And that when we're a believer, that you are somebody who is living with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is in you. And I want to look this morning with you guys at three things that happen when we live with the Holy Spirit. That living with the Holy Spirit, it will change the way you think. Living with the Holy Spirit will change the way you think. Let's jump to verse 15, chapter 5 still. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be fooled trying to fill yourself with something else, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. You guys were just doing some of this. And making music to the Lord in your heart. That living with the Holy Spirit, it will change the way you think. That if you're somebody that you're either not there yet, or you're somebody that as an adult, you made that decision and you became a Christ follower as an adult, that you might even go back and you might even look back at your life and go, yeah, you know what, there was a time and I had people talking to me and inviting me to be to church, inviting me to do this. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to behave like that. I want to chase these things. I want to be able to have these things. I don't want to give these things up. Because when you don't have Jesus, when you don't have this, then your best hope is to get all the things that bring you a sense of happiness in this lifetime. And you're like, I don't want to give that up. But once you become convinced of who Christ is, once the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you, it begins to change the way you think. And things change. And they change for the better. And living with the Holy Spirit, it will change the way you think. Living with the Holy Spirit, it will create a thankful heart. That we will have this reason to be thankful. When we recognize and realize, listen, all of our sins, all of our faults, all of our failures, they have been covered, they have been forgiven. That we get to come to God because of what Jesus did for us, not because of what we did. We didn't earn our place. That we begin to have this thankful heart. That living with the Holy Spirit creates this. Verse 20. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would just be thankful, we would be so grateful when we realize what has been done for us, the benefit that we receive. And the third one is living with the Holy Spirit will cultivate submitting to one another. That this caring for one another, this serving one another, and this whole one another thing. This whole submitting thing, it's about to other believers. That we would be submitting, I could do this for you, I could do this for you. It's this submitting, it's this doing for one another that we get to see. Verse 21, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Every believer has been commissioned to bring glory to God. Every believer. We've been commissioned to bring glory to God. Jesus gave us a great commission. That we would go out, that we would teach, that we would reach people, we would baptize. We would do this. That we have this great commission to go and share and spread the name and fame of Jesus. That's what he commissioned us to do. And the Holy Spirit has done something as well. The Holy Spirit has gifted us to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. That the Holy Spirit has done this. That the Holy Spirit gives us a gift. In fact, we even have a name for this gift, and we call this gift a spiritual gift. And there's different spiritual gifts that the Spirit of God gives. And so when we look at this, that a spiritual gift is given so believers will glorify God. That's why it's even given. That they're a spiritual gift. If you're a believer, you have received a spiritual gift. that you have received a gift from God, from the Spirit of God, so that you would bring glory to God. And there's some confusion around this and what it is and how it happens. And the Spirit of God gives it. Every believer gets at least one. But we're not limited to one. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit's going to give, the Holy Spirit is going to give. Somebody might get more than one. Somebody might only get only one. But every believer is going to get a spiritual gift. And spiritual gifts, they're not a gift for the spiritual elite. It's not a gift that's like, okay, you have arrived at that level, so now I'm going to go ahead and give you a gift. It's not a gift that's given so somebody could become spiritually elite. Every believer gets this, and it is not limited to the elite. It's for everybody. That when we look at the spiritual gifts, they're not signs of spiritual maturity. It's not that we have to mature and grow in our faith before we're going to get a gift. We get gifted because the Holy Spirit chooses to gift the believers. And we just get that gift. Now, there is a sign of spiritual maturity when it comes to how people are using that gift. That is where spiritual maturity does come into play. But it's not your spiritual maturity that determines what gift you get or how many you get. It's the Spirit of God that determines that. And spiritual gifts, they're not something for us to be afraid of. They're not something to be to where we would fear them and go, I just don't know, and I just don't know if I want. But also, spiritual gifts, they are something that when we get them, it's not for us to determine what gifts we get and how we get them or when we get them. That is absolutely the work of the Spirit that gives us the gifts. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, Paul is writing to the believers here, and he's wanting to share some things about this. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That right here in these three verses, we see how Paul begins to identify some, not all, it's not an exclusive list, some of these gifts. Gift of prophecy, gift of serving, gift of teaching, the gift of encouraging, gift of giving, the gift of leadership. We get to see these gifts, the gift of kindness. Maybe if you're following a different translation, you might even see the word mercy. But these are gifts that the Spirit of God gives. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, in 1 Corinthians, as Paul is writing to the believers here, they've gotten a little sideways on understanding these spiritual gifts. And where they've gotten a little sideways is that they've tried to create a hierarchy, a little totem pole, if you will, and saying, oh, these are the super gifts, and then these are just kind of gifts. And they tried to create a hierarchy and talk about what gifts are better, and they were trying to say, hey, who was more spiritual and who was better off and who was more mature, and Paul was having to correct that and address that with them. So we're going to jump around a little bit here in chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. That you've got some misunderstandings, and I don't want you to have the misunderstandings that you do have. Jump to verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. The believers aren't all the same. And believers aren't gifted the same. And we don't have every believer that has every single gift, and we all just share it, and we're all just alike. That the Spirit of God chooses on whom He's going to give what gifts. And He does, and He freely gives them. And that's great news for us. And it shouldn't be something that we start trying to compare our gift and go, oh, well, this is what I got. What do you have? You know, and we shouldn't try to feel better or feel worse because of what gift we have compared to a gift that somebody else has. Because it's the Spirit that gives us this gift so that we would bring glory to God. That there are many gifts. And we don't know how many we're going to get. When it comes to getting spiritual gifts, I can tell you how it doesn't work. It doesn't work where the Spirit of God just kind of sets up this buffet in front of us. And he says, come on up and take what you want and leave what you don't. You don't get to come on up here and go, oh, yeah, the gift of giving, I'll take that. Because that means I'm going to have a lot to give a lot. So, yeah, let me have some of that. Oh, evangelism. no, thank you. I don't touch that. Yeah, we don't get to come along and pick and choose these gifts that the Spirit of God picks for us and says, this is the gift that I want you to have, or the gifts that I want you to have. Use them to bring glory to your Heavenly Father. Use them to minister to other people and bring glory to your Heavenly Father. Some people, though, they ignore their gifts. They neglect their gifts. Some people misuse their gifts, and they try to use them to serve themselves instead of trying to serve God and others. And we need to use them for the purpose that they've been given, because they're not given to bring glory to ourselves. They're not given so that we get to benefit and we get to have more. It's so that we can do more for God. Verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. It's so that we can use it so that somebody else can benefit because of how we are using our spiritual gift. Verse 8, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. That's talking about this gift of tongues is what that's talking about. While another is given the ability to interpret those tongues, what is being said. Verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. It's for him to decide. And if you're a believer, then you should know what your spiritual gift is or what your spiritual gifts are. That if you're a believer, you should have an interest in this. You should be going, oh, I'd like to know. I want to know. And then when you know, you should be looking for, hey, what can I do? How can I use this? How can I bring glory to God? How can I minister to others? How can I be doing this? And so there's different tools out there that you can use that begin to point you toward, well, maybe this or these are your spiritual gifts. And so I want to point you to one. And it's spiritualgiftstest.com. That is a place that you could go. It's going to take you about 10 minutes. And some of you guys are like going, 10 minutes? Well, you're probably going to go another 10 minutes. I guess I could do it right now. But it's a place for you to go. And for you to just begin to look and see. For you to begin to plug in some things about yourself and how you're wired. And for you to begin to see, well, hey, maybe this. This or these might be where the Spirit of God has chosen to gift you. And you should be looking at these to go, well, how is it that I can bring glory to God? How is it I can serve and minister to others? It's going to be something that'll take an inventory of you and your life and your outlook on it and begin to identify and hone some things in. And so I figured for the sake of transparency, I would share with you a few things that I got out of it when I recently took this test. So I figured I'd start by telling you where I'm not gifted, where I like barely registered on the spectrum, okay? Some of you guys have been able to do life with me and got to know me some, and you're like not going to be surprised at all by most, maybe even all of these. But some of you guys are kind of going, I don't know you very well, but wow, you don't have that? Not sure that you should be our pastor then. But I'm just going to be real with you and just kind of be transparent. So, mercy. Barely registered. It registered so low, it's like, I'm not even sure it was worth even showing me that it even had any kind of registry to it. And it's just not me. I just do not have the gift of mercy. People that are looking for mercy that have come to me have been very disappointed. Because I'm not a mercy giver. It's just not in me. Okay, mercy. It's just not one of my spiritual gifts. Prophecy. I don't have that gift. That's not something that God's given me for me to be able to just go out there and tell what's going to be happening. And then it happened. I don't have that gift. Exhortation, which is just a long, spiritual, fancy way of saying encouragement. That's not my gift. That's just not something that just kind of just rolls off of it for me. I can encourage at times, and I have to muster it up, and I have to think about it. I have to make sure, tell them, because it's just not natural for me. Just because I don't have a spiritual gift doesn't mean I can't do these things, right? Well, at least not the prophecy part. But it just doesn't come natural to me. And then the last one that I'll share with you this is probably being a little bit risky for me to share this one, but I will anyways. Pastoring. It just barely registers. And in the context of pastoring, it's really talking about how you are actively caring for people. What you're doing and how you're caring and ministering and shepherding and what you're doing with that. And that is not a spiritual gift of mine. So, all right, let me share with you three that did register very high for me, my highest three, okay? Faith was one of my spiritual gifts. That for me, trusting God comes very easy for me. In fact, for me, sometimes I don't even pray for things to happen because I'm just like going, God, I know you're going to take care of it. I just trust you. Because I just have a super high trust, a super high faith in God that things are going to work out. It's all going to work out. Another one for me that registered high, and maybe some of you guys have done some life with me and you're like going, that registered? It's wisdom. That's a spiritual gift. That apparently God has given me. He's given me this dose of wisdom that I get to use in a spiritual setting, in a spiritual way, to be able to help other people. And my third one that registered high is teaching. That I've been given the spiritual gift of being a teacher of the Word of God. Of being able to teach others, instruct others, lead others, move people further along in their faith journey. And it's a spiritual gift that's been given to me. I don't get to step out there and go, oh, you know what? Yeah, my ability to teach is all my ability. It's all what I do. I've been given a gift. Now, just because you're given a spiritual gift doesn't mean that you don't hone it and you don't work it and you don't try to build it up to be as best it can be. You still want to be responsible and do that. But those are areas that I have been gifted in. You know, a litmus test. A litmus test is where there is a deciding factor that is it or isn't it. And that's what a litmus test is. That you take that paper, you put it in it. Does it change? Does it not change? What does it change? What does it do? How does it react? And it is a proving thing. Listen, there is a litmus test for believers. There's a litmus test for believers. Are you a believer or aren't you a believer? And that litmus test is found right inside of Scripture, and Paul wrote about it. It's our last verse we're looking at as we're wrapping up. And it's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. See, it's a test. And it's a test that looks at, is the work of Christ on the cross at work in you? It's kind of test that it is. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And then it's going to list nine of these attributes, nine of these aspects, nine of these characteristics, nine of these virtues of what the Holy Spirit produces, this kind of fruit. It's not these kind of fruits. It's this is the fruit of the Spirit. And these are the attributes of that fruit of what the Spirit of God produces. That if you're a believer, the Spirit of God is in you. And if the Spirit of God is in you, then he's at work in you and he's producing some fruit. And so what is that fruit? Well, let's look at it together. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this is the litmus test. Are these things being produced in me? It's not, am I 100% all of these things in my life all the time? No. Is the Spirit of God producing this fruit in me? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Is the Spirit of God producing these things in me? Because if he is, it's your litmus test. You're a believer. His Spirit of God is in you, working in you and through you. See, I asked a question when we started this series. And the question I asked is how? How is the work of Christ on the cross at work in you? How is the work of Christ on the cross at work in you? And the fruit of the Spirit is the way that the work of Christ on the cross should be at work in you. That it should be at work in you. That you would be somebody that these characteristics would be coming out of you. And if you aren't using your spiritual gifts to serve and care for others, that if you're not doing this, then you're not honoring God with your gifts. And you need to be. And if that's something that you want to try to use those gifts here, then we would love for you to be doing that. That you can stop by our Next Step booth on your way out today. And you can check that out and you can be going, hey, I want to be able to do something. Maybe you're going, hey, I haven't taken this test yet. I want to wait. I'll come back next week and I'll do that. And that's fine too. In fact, you have two opportunities next week because our Next Steps will be there. But also next week, we're going to be doing something at 8:30 in the morning that we do every quarter. And it's our time. And we're doing our vibe is what we are doing. It's at 8:30. And so we got time change, and it's going to be like, hey, you don't even have to lose any sleep. You can just come at 8:30, and it's like you didn't even get an extra hour of sleep that you thought you were going to get. And you can come to our vibe. And as you come to our vibe, that what you're going to get is you're going to get, this is for us, this is where we are doing, where we're at work, and what we're trying to do is that we're going, hey, well, where can we help show that you are somebody who is valued? How can we be somebody that we can inspire you? How can we build you up? How can we encourage you? How can we help equip you so that you can be serving God and so that you can be doing something bigger than yourself and get value back out of it? And that's going to be an opportunity for you as well. It's for people that are already volunteering with us. It's for people that are going, hey, I'm looking to be able to volunteer. I'm open to that, and I'd be willing to do that. So I want to invite you to come and be part of Vibe. So use your spiritual gift if you're a believer, and if you're not, then would you just allow the Spirit of God to continue to work on you? And if you want to make that decision and go, hey, I want to talk to somebody more about that, you can talk to our care team that's going to be making their way to the front, or you can go by our Next Step area and you can talk with them. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you for coming and delivering the Holy Spirit. That God, you are the triune God. You are the one who you are working. There's things about you that we can't comprehend and we can't understand here on earth. God, help us to trust what we can't understand. And I pray that as we understand spiritual gifts, that we would seek to know what ours would be, what they are, and that we would look for ways to be able to be using them to bring glory and honor to you as we minister to others. God, may we make that a priority. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.